So anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there from the Avenger of Blood. Flees to one of these cities, he is to stand at the city gate and state his case to that city. Then they are to admit him a place to live with them. Blood pursues him, they must not surrender, thus he killed his neighbor unintentionally, plus the forethought. He is to stay, stood trial before the assembly and until the death who is serving at that time. Then he may home in the town from which he fled. Part Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan of Jericho, they designate desert on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Manasseh. Any of the Israelites living among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities by the Avenger of Blood prior to standing for the assembly. You may be seated. Life is devalued in this. If you're not aware of that, I suspect you've not been paying much attention. The state of Oregon has a law that a physician-assisted suicide. It is still true that 3+ million born children are killed every year. Violence against seems to be the entertainment in video games and motion. And the formerly unthinkable euthanasia and infanticide are thought about, but are, I am told, increasingly practiced. We cannot buy into this of human life, and neither acquiesce to it unwittingly. Life is, or has value, but human life is sacred in a way that is. In saying that human life is sacred, we are saying that it's holy, especially saying, or specifically saying, that it is uniquely connected to. For example, we call the because it is an explicit God. We call it sacred or holy because it's unique to a holy God. How we think about human life and how we treat human life affects, and it reflects ignorance of God, or worse yet, our attitude. I introduce human life and its value today because of Joshua, this chapter to which we come in study of the book of Joshua. Under Jacob, the people of Israel, descendants of Jacob, whose other name was Israel, together have conquered the land of a land that had been promised to them some far. After they subdued, as we have seen over the last couple of weeks, the leadership of Israel to apportion land to the various tribes, is the large groups of people from the 12 sons of Jacob. The descendants of one of those sons was a man by, and Levites, called Levites, because of the entire nation of Israel. Among the cities that were allocated, there were many of those cities, among cities called cities of refuge. Let me again show you from the text what Joshua writes about those cities. Again, chapter 20, verse 1. Joshua tells the Israelites to designate the city as I instructed you through Moses. Kills a person accidentally and unintentionally, flee there and find protection from the Avenger of. When he flees to one of these cities, he in the entrance of state for the elders of that city. Then him into their city and give him a place to live. If the Avenger of Blood pursues, they must not surrender the one accused, killed his neighbor unintentionally and without. He is to stay in that good trial before the assembly and until the high priest who is serving at that time. Back to his own home in the town. I want you to imagine with me an example. Building his house on the side of a steep hill, collects a number of very large rocks, foundation. One of those rocks in the gets away. It rolls down the hill, killing a passerby. This is the case when any person was killed, or unintentionally, if the next of kin, before avenging that death. So precious, so sacred, justice was not served, that took the life had also been taken. God had established that principle shortly. We find it in Genesis chapter 9. Man too, I will demand an accounting for them. Whoever sheds the blood of man, his blood be shed, for in the image of God made man. And so, the next, or as it's referred to in our text, measure of blood is responsible for injustice. Translated avenger, word that is elsewhere in the Old Testament, kinsman redeemer. You say, my, that's, yes it is, but it's the same kinsman redeemer, some of you might remember, was Boaz, the closest relative, was taking care of Ruth, whose husband had died. Closest relative refused to do so. Kinsman redeemer. It's the same word here. It's relative, this avenger of blood, a personal psychological obligation. But this person does obligation to carry out justice. But the killer then could raise a refuge where he would be safe, was a trial. And if it was killing was not accidental, was intentional, or it was called careless manslaughter, or was to be turned over to the avenger of blood could carry out just the killer. If, however, accidental, unintentional, the killer was required to live in refuge until the high priest died. Have spent a great deal of time text, and after I studied it many hours, I would not have attempted to preach were it not for a couple of reasons. First, it not be ignored that the author Joshua, very important to spell the system of justice in detail, telling us what the refuge of what the for, but twice, both in chapter 20 and in chapter 20. So Joshua sees some importance this issue in the midst of all else that he tells us. The reason for camping on this is because this teaching on the city is found four times in the Old Testament. Once each in Exodus 21, Numbers spelled out in detail, Deuteronomy chapter near in Joshua 20 and 21. I don't have time to show you how extensive to this issue is, but I urge you to go and look to those other texts, the Numbers 35 text, God has to say. But what's the big deal? Why four times in the Old Testament are these cities? Why does Joshua seem to make point of them here? Now, the big deal is these of refuge form the very central, the whole system of justice, the nation of Israel. The ultimate penalty was death, loss of life. But life is that the penalty of death could not except under very rules. Life is so not simply be taken. Justice does not come to humans. We first of all think in terms of revenge, not justice. It has been around from the very beginning. He killed his brother Abel. He knew he was the target. Here's what he says in Genesis 4:13. Punishment is more than I can bear. Whoever finds him. I know that raised who it is that would have tried to kill him. Back to those early chapters of Genesis. And I know even more important issue about why God would grant a for Cain. Those subjects are for another time, hopefully spoken to by somebody else. Cain was wisely fearful of sinful human nature. Cain understood human nature. He knew that blood was the law of the land, not God's law. Each person taking revenge as he saw fit. Again, in Genesis, same thing. Lamech, this time, is that he was ill because of him. Here's what he says. Unding me, a young man for injuring me. Seven times, then Lamech 77. Vengeance prevailed. Vengeance. So that chapter 6, God describes the world of heaven. Now the earth was corrupt and was full of violence. Bloodshed was pandemic and apparently cause. People killed each other and bloodshed was all. But God brings discriminate killing under when he gives the law. But if there is serious injury, are to take life for life, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for burn, wound for wound, bruise. Do you see the high from life being taken? This law is sized. In fact, in our culture, it's often critical, severe, overly harsh. Have you in Fiddler on the Roof who humorously said, "Eye and a tooth for a tooth. If we keep doing that, blind and toothless." Such is not the case. In fact, the opposite of what Tevye suggests here. Instead, the law by making the penalty fit the crime. It's not take a life for a burn, not take out an eye for a bruise. It's life for bruise. Even Jesus, this law in the is not being critical of justice, critical of our natural tendency, justice into revenge. Itself, you will see that. Now, this further limit the penalty, move revenge. Place of refuge make clear. The intention when punishment is meted out. Killing was unintentional. Then justice is served different. The cities of refuge institution a system of due process in the law. Now, none of that is revolutionary to our way of thinking in this culture. In fact, much of what I have always think is, frankly, part and parcel of justice. It's at least interesting, 100 years later, our system has been so influenced of God. In our belief that whether someone intended one or accidentally kills a human, so that's not so remarkable. What is remarkable about Israel's justice is that an accidental, an unintentional killing would result in any punishment at all. What we don't understand is who committed an accidental killing was not. I mean, if it was truly accidental, not through carelessness, but truly accidental, why are they? But instead, this person, instead of being acquitted, was to live out the rest of his life away from his home, as it was an agrarian society, undoubtedly. And the only thing that was when the high priest died. Then the one who killed returned to his own home with punishment. Why isn't the man simply, it was accidental, it was unintentional. This begins to, I think, help that I think is so applicable to us, so precious is human life, that God will a death even if that death is accidental. Human life is holy. Taking of a human life must be. Let me show you how consistent on that subject. First of all, I want you to see again the fourth after the flood in Genesis 9. And two, I will demand an account of the issue. I will demand an accounting of his fellow man. Whoever sheds man shall his blood be shed, for in the image has God made man. Of a life for a life was so consistent that even if an animal killed, the animal's life was to be taken. Chapter 21. If a bull bore a woman to death, the bull must be stoned to death, be eaten. But the owner of the bull is responsible. If, however, the bull has goring, and the owner has been kept it penned up, and it kills a man or a woman, must be stoned, and the owner also must. I want you to see also consistently applied that when sold, and there was no one to blame for it, one, there was no assailant that was caught, still that death had to be for a life. Deuteronomy. If a man is found slain, not known who killed him, then the elders of the body shall take a heifer that has never been worn a yoke, and they are to break the heifer. Then all the elders of the town nearest to the body, hands, neck was there. Hands did not shed this blood, eyes see it done. Except for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Lord, do not hold your people guilty of the blood of an innocent, and the bloodshed. Thus you will purge the guilt of shedding innocent blood. I hope you see it with me. God takes bloodshed so seriously that the taking of a human life, or even unintentionally, that must be atoned, satisfied. So serious life and death that in our passage chapter 20, it took the death and that in relationship to Jesus Christ as our is very great. But it took the high priest in order for that one killed by the city of refuge to finally be atoned. God takes violence so seriously. Numbers 34. Do not pollute you are. Bloodshed the land. An atonement cannot end on which blood has been shed, the blood of the one who shed it. Tell the land where you live and where I, for I the Lord, dwell among them. To pollute or to defile, to make it uninhabitable for God. God cannot live in such a place, he said. Such a place where bloodshed takes place is a place that is a contradiction to us in his holiness. What is it about human life that causes God to will not remain where he will? What is it about humans as God to say that even accidental death must be atoned? Put such a premium on human life. It starts, of course, with what God he made human beings. Genesis chapter 1 created man in his own image. In the created him, male and female he created. It has to do with being men beings being made in the image of God. Look again at the rationale for that principle stated blood in Genesis chapter 9. 2, I will demand an accounting for the life of this. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood, or because in the image of God, God made man. Why accounting for human life? Why given for a life taken? Is God so serious about human life? Because humans are made in the image. Old Testament scholar Ron Allen, Craig Allen's father, has written, God describes man in his whole body. It describes him in his relationship. It describes him in his potential for relationship. The image of God in man is descriptive of his entire being, of what a man is. The image of God reflected in our personal spirituality, our rationality, our authority, our creativity. And it's not just that has been made in the image of God. The scripture and every human being. It's R.C. Sproul in his book inserts, man's dignity rests in God. Hear it again. Man's dignity in God. It doesn't the fact that maybe we consider ourselves a high others. It doesn't simply rest in the fact we have rationality that others don't have. It rests in God who assigns estimable worth to each and every person. Man's origin is not an accident, but an act by God who has eternal value, who stamps his own image on each person, men and moves heaven and earth to redeem. Our origin is in creation, our redemption, and between these points, every heartbeat has value. Because we're made in the image of God. Here's the way Charles Swindoll, as lovely and beautiful color as the plant or animal kingdom may be, when created in God's image, only human life. For only human life can walk with and talk with the Creator. Animals cannot plant. Only human beings enjoy this privilege. They possess God's image. And human life is so precious and so unique that it must be protected. It alone represents the image of God. Speaking, it is God's way of saying, life, no one has the right to murder it. Don't end, because all humanity represents his mind to do with as I please. In mysterious ways, stamp. Lastly, put it this way. God does not pronounce it because it involves the killing of a creature. God pronounces judgment on murder because counter the image of God in another. And in the New Testament, Jesus' teaching of another person is tantamount to murder. Why? Because it despises the image of God in that person. Take human life. It's as simple as that. Worst of all, when we take human life, we for God. Whether capital punishment can be fairly administered in our judicial debate for another time in another place. But to say, as some do, that depreciates life, is, I believe, contrary to the word of God. Capital punishment, according to God, the value of human life. It honors it. Capital punishment, very clearly, was God's expression of anyone who would deface in the sacred, who would defame or profane the image of God. Among other things, what the text impresses on us is the high value that God places on humanity. Possible implications for us. I hope some having free rein in your brain. What does the fact that each person is made in the about the way we treat others? What does it say about the way we treat a husband, a child, a neighbor? Not just the people collectively with whom you work. About the guy who drives in front of you and cuts you off. Can we ever again treat another human being? Can we ever again, as a disposable commodity, anything less than holy, anything less than the image of God? I suggest that those pictures that we are tempted to look at in magazines, images we are tempted to look at in movies, remember this, carries the holy. Know it? In fact, freely allowed themselves ways, but they carry, made in the image. Does God say that this is in fact an expression of our attitude? Does God say that how we in fact an expression of how we treat him, every person we know, every person we meet? I understand the scriptures correctly, and I believe that I were made in the image of God. That has huge implications. Just another. What about an entertainment? In what God finds. Are we valuing what God calls, are we treating as what God, for the sake of honor? Ridiculous. Made in the image of God. I don't have questions I wish to ask, but as a father, I must ask, should we encourage our children to play? Should we encourage our children to make enter of kill sacred? Does a child's delight in kill come from a heart reaction, from an innocuous fascination with blood, or does it come that naturally devalues? Most of us would have a great deal of difficulty, take or your Bible, any Bible, its pages from between the covers, throwing those pages on the floor and then our muddy boots. Why? Because we believe, and ink shall not be profaned. Of course not. In paper in lots of ways. Abhorrent. Because particular paper and this particular are linked. That is, they are holy. Most offended when federal money, our, was used to support so-called a number of years ago that depicted a cross jar of urine. We were offended because the symbol of the cross with the holy in ways far deeper, more intrinsic, body and soul to the holy, were made in the image of God. Do you begin to understand? They are so deep, us in so many, it affects us in so that I think we live so casually. Stand with me, please, as we pray. Father, Spirit, please, the truth. And forgive us, God, for profaning. God, forgive us for using other people, feeling toward other people. Treat them even if they were simply a commodity. As we find ourselves doing it so often, we don't know someone personally or easily dismiss them. We say things about them. We can even be careless because we've been caught up with a culture's human life. Oh God, convince that human beings are made in the dignity in you, God. Spirit of God, convince. And, oh God, please enable us. For I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you richly in this new week, made in the image of God. Amen.